Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, as we come now to hear your word preached, we thank you again for bringing us together on this very special first day. Holy Spirit, we invite you to keep moving among us. Open our hearts to receive what you want us to hear now. Father, we thank you that you are the same God who spoke creation into existence, and you are still speaking today. So Lord, as we open your word together, would you meet with us now? Would you take the words spoken here and use them for your glory? And would you help us to see ourselves the way that you see us and all that we are in Christ Jesus? Amen. Well, here we are. My first Sunday with you as minister here at Craig Hill Church. And what a first day this is. What a tremendous first day this is. A first day that I'll absolutely never forget for the rest of my life. And I have to tell you, I've had quite a few first days. But this one is special. This is very special. There's something about first days though, isn't there? You know, first days, they're full of excitement often. First days are full of possibility. And first days can have a certain kind of nervous energy that can keep us awake all night the night before. Thankfully, I slept really well last night. I always do. I think I'm probably so hyper during the day that as soon as my head hits the pillow at night, I'm out. So you'll be pleased to hear I slept really well, but I was very, very, very excited about this first day. But you know, first days can go two ways. Sometimes I wake up and everything just seems to align really perfectly. Other times, from the minute our feet hit the floor in the morning, it feels like the whole world is right up against us. We've all been there, I'm sure, many times before. You know those days when nothing seems to be going right? You wish you could just crawl back under the covers, reset, and start again. And you know, before I came to understand the sovereignty of God in all things, I used to think myself as the unluckiest man alive. You would regularly hear me saying, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And I genuinely believed it. You know, but it is amazing how different things look when we begin to understand who God is and what he has done for us. And our reading from Genesis chapter 1 that Saul read so well for us there, it's a great place for us to start on this very special first day. The word Genesis literally means beginning or origin. And what we are witnessing here at the very start of Scripture is not just any beginning, it's the beginning, the ultimate first day. It says in verse 1, "In the beginning God created." And here it's speaking of something that only God can do. This creation is ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. So God made everything out of nothing. You know, that concept is really hard for the human mind to try to understand. That's because we are makers, we're not creators. We can take wood and we can build a table. We can take clay and form a pot. We can take metal and shape it into a tool. Well, actually, I can't do any of those things, right? But I'm sure it was funny because Glad and Fiona got me the DIY Bible there the other night as a gift. And I took a photograph of it and I sent it to Gordon. And I said, "Gordon, I think you're off the hook now." So all of those things I've just listed, I can't actually do any of it. Many, many people can. But you know, we cannot as human beings speak something into existence. Only God can do that. This tells us something super important about the nature of the God we serve. He is utterly transcendent, completely other. The sovereign creator who depends on absolutely nothing and no one. This means that before anything else, anything existed, God was. So, you know, everything we see, everything we touch, everything that exists in this huge universe only exists because God spoke it into being. You know, I think I shared briefly with the kids there, when I was exploring the things of faith, and I was sorting out my old life, and I was coming into this new life, and, you know, and I was hanging about with Christians, I was attending a church, I wanted to know, what, is this true? You know, do we have evidence for what we believe? And I absolutely pursued that. Not everyone needs the evidence, but for me, that was my journey. And it was a lot of that stuff, you know, that there was a beginning, you know, that it didn't always just exist. You know, the water we see, the hills we see, came out of nothing. Science has actually proven that. It came out of nothing. And that's the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is creation. You know, if creation's true, then everything else is pretty possible after that. And that kind of sold it for me. It really sold it. And then in verse 2, we hear, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. So picture this, no distinction, no order, no structure. The earth was entirely covered by water, and it was in absolute darkness. And here's where it gets glorious. Look at what's happening. Even in those verses, verse 2 says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So here the Holy Spirit is present, active, and involved. And then we see in verse 3 how God creates just by speaking. It says, and God said, let there be light. The word of God and John's gospel will make it very clear that this word is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. So it is the word that speaks creation into existence. But all three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are involved in this tremendous act of creation. James chapter 1 verses 17 and 18 speaks of the Father as the creator. Colossians 1 verse 16 and Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 tells us that by the Son all things were created. And here in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 we see the Spirit hovering over the waters. And you know what happens throughout this chapter is that over and over again we read these words, God saw that it was good. After creating light, God saw the light was good. After separating the waters, God saw that it was good. And you know, by saying it was good, God is declaring that what he makes is good. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4 says that he is the rock, his works are perfect. And why are God's works perfect? Well, because he is perfect. God is holy, without flaw, without any defect whatsoever. Definitely not like us at all then. You and I can make things that we consider to be good. We can build impressive buildings. We can write beautiful music. We can paint amazing artwork. Again, I can't do any of them things, right? But lots of people can. But you know, everything that we make, no matter how excellent we think it is, it eventually will break. It will still have flaws. You know, we are getting better year on year. We're getting better all the time at making better stuff. But, you know, we've never been able to create anything that's absolutely perfect. We just can't, because we are creatures marked by sin, and we're so limited in our knowledge and our power. But with God, every single thing he created was flawless. Because he is flawless. Years ago, I got a study in the church I used to be in, and it was a guy that done a lot of discipleship with myself, and he took this drone out. He loved drones, and he had the most advanced drone you could ever imagine. It cost him an absolute fortune, and this drone was tremendous. He used to take it to church camps, and the picture was clear. It was amazing. But he took the drone out, and we were super impressed with it, because he showed us what it could do and all. And he said, you know, this drone will eventually break. But he then had a picture of a pigeon, a common pigeon, you know. And he said, the common pigeon is by far more advanced than this drone, far more, you know, far greater, created, much more advanced. And yet we don't really do that. We don't walk along the street, or certainly I don't, and you see a wee bird and you think, wow, look at that. But with this drone, I was so impressed. It was great teaching. It was a great lesson. But you know, with God, everything he creates is flawless, which is amazing. You know, we then know how the creation story takes a tragic turn. When God created humanity, Adam and Eve, he created them in his image. They were made to live in perfect peace and harmony with their Creator. Just imagine that. No harsh words had been spoken. No feelings had been hurt. No relationships had been broken. There was no guilt, no regret, and no shame. There was only light. The light of promise and hope. And it was good. It would have been so good. That was the ultimate first day, when everything was exactly as it was supposed to be. Adam and Eve brought the best version of themselves because they were the best version of themselves. They were unfallen and untainted by sin. But you know, then came the fall. Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's disobedience, and that perfect relationship with a holy God got absolutely shattered. And every single one of us now inherits that fallen nature. And no matter how hard we try, and we can try in our own strength, our fallen nature always eventually comes out. Someone once said to me, you don't realise just how fallen human beings actually are. We are fallen. And we know this, don't we? From experience, we know this. Maybe you've started a new job. You know that first day, you get up early, your clothes are ironed, you're eager to impress. Or you've entered into a new relationship. We want the other person to see the absolute best version of us. We're on our best behaviour. We're treating others really, really well. And we're so aware of all of their feelings. But then what happens over time? That initial shine, it starts to fade. Our fallen nature takes hold. And our flaws and our defects, which we have many, become so much more noticeable. That representative that we sent in on our behalf eventually gets called back, and the real us shows up with all our struggles, our selfishness, and sadly, all of our sin. But here's the good news. God didn't leave us in that fallen state. The same God who spoke creation into existence in the beginning has spoken again. He came himself in the person of Jesus Christ to make a way back for us. And when we accept that Jesus hung on the cross and died for our sins and rose again to give us a new life, and we ask him to be Lord over our lives, we can have that relationship again with God restored. And more than that, we can become new creations. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. I absolutely love that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. That's amazing. The same creative power that spoke light into darkness, that separated the waters from dry land, that breathed life into Adam's nostrils, that same power is at work in us. When we come to Christ, we become a new creation. But notice the condition that Paul says here. If anyone is in Christ, for years in my own Christian journey, I did not fully understand what that meant, to be really in Christ. But now it makes so much more sense. Being in Christ means staying in fellowship with him, walking in obedience to him, and most of all, depending on his Spirit. The moment we step outside of God's will and try and live in our own strength, which we all try many times, rather than in Christ, we revert back to that old person with the same struggles and the same difficulties. But the glorious truth is this. It's that Jesus came to free us from that old sinful nature. He takes our sins, our mistakes, our hurts, our resentments, our pain, our guilt, our worries, our fears, our shame, He takes those parts of our character that we have tried so hard in our own strength to change with very little success. He takes all of that and he goes on taking it and makes us new again. Now, just to be clear, becoming a new creation doesn't mean perfection. I absolutely wish it did. I so wish it did. But sadly, it doesn't. None of us will be anywhere near perfect this side of the glory. But you know, sanctification is a process. We can be refined. We can be cleansed. And we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, become more and more like Jesus. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God cannot change in us. The same God who brought order out of chaos, who spoke darkness into light, and who created everything out of nothing, that same God will transform us if we let him. Now, as your new minister here at Craig Hill, this is a first day, as I said at the start, that I will never forget, absolutely never forget. And today's a first day for all of us, I'm sure we won't forget. For me, it's the first Sunday as the minister here at Craig Hill Church. For all of us together, it's the beginning of a new chapter in the life of Craig Hill Church. And just as God looked at that first day of creation and saw that it was good, I believe, I absolutely believe that God is looking on us today and he also says that this is good. It's good because God sees potential. He sees what can be done when his people surrender to him and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, in us and through us. So let me ask us all this morning, how do we let this be a day of new beginnings? How do we believe, really believe, that in Christ we are truly new creations? Well, we do all of that by committing ourselves again to living out his truth, not just today, but in all the days ahead of our lives and our ministry together. And to help us with that, we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. We absolutely need the Spirit to guide us. We need to remember that when we pray, we should be asking the Spirit to point areas out in our lives that need attention. That's not always easy, I know that, because we don't really want to admit to ourselves, especially not to God, that there's parts that we really want to change. But it's really important to ask the Holy Spirit to try and point out those areas that we need to be changing. And we should always be ready to address these issues when they come up. A favourite saying of mine is that God loves you exactly where you are, but he loves you far too much to leave you there. That's the truth. God loves you exactly where you are, but he loves you far too much to leave you there. God loves us perfectly, right as we are right now. You know, amazing truth is he doesn't love a future, more cleaned up version of ourselves than he loves this version. But he loves us far too much to leave us in our sin, in our brokenness, and in our pain. He wants to transform us and help us to become more like Jesus. So we can be the best version of ourselves, not just on a first day, but every day. So here's my hope for us all this morning as we begin this exciting journey together. May we be a people who remember that we serve a God who makes all things new. The God who creates out of nothing and the God who speaks light into all darkness. May we trust in his creative power, not in our own strength, but all in his strength. May we remain in Christ where true change happens. And may we share the light of the gospel with everyone we meet, pointing them to a God who loves them exactly where they're at, but who wants to take them on a journey to get to know him more. And a God who can take their formless, empty, dark lives and make them into something so special. In the beginning, God created. And you know, he's still creating today. He is creating new hearts and new lives. And praise his holy name that we get to join him in his great plan to save this fallen world. Amen.